No, a goldfish does not have a 3-second memory. No, the North Star is not the brightest star. No, coal doesn't turn into diamonds. Surprised? There are literally hundreds of more pieces of information where that came from in my book, Facts That Aren't True. Click the link in the description to learn more.
So I'm a human, I have a consciousness, I can think of ideas, I can conceptualize things, and I can come up with the idea of God in my mind, and therefore God exists in my mind.
In your mind, sure, yeah.
Yeah.
But what does that mean? If that's the case, then I can imagine the God-defeating penguin exists, which means the God in your mind doesn't exist.
God defeating what?
Penguin.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that one more time?
I can imagine, in my mind, the God defeating penguin existing. So that means that anybody that imagines God, they actually don't, because the God defeating penguin that I imagined makes their God not exist.
Well, they exist in separate universes. The universe of the closed universe of your mind is different than the closed universe of my mind, correct?
I don't think so. I think you and I live in the universe.
We live in the same material universe, but the reality as it is constructed in your mind is separate than the reality that is constructed within my mind, correct?
We're still sharing the same reality because that big circle is the universe, and then the two little circles are your mind and my mind, so we occupy the same universe.
Right, and those two tiny circles are closed off from one another. They don't share any space.
They do. They share the universe. Right. They're inside the same big circle.
Right, but your little circle is
one
not
circle,
inside
one
my
circle, circle, one big circle.
Right. There's three circles, and the one of the two smaller circles is not inside the other smaller circle.
They're part of the same set, though.
They're part of the same larger circle, but the two smaller circles are not within one another. They're within the bigger circle together.
They share an ultimate reality. And so since in that ultimate reality, a God-defeating penguin exists, that means that God cannot exist in that reality. Your mind is just a subset of that broader reality. And so it doesn't matter.
All right. Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome, dude.
Wouldn't there be a lot more fossil evidence of like transitional fossils than the ones that we have found? Like we have found a lot, but wouldn't there be so much more? Like wouldn't we find so much more evidence of it?
Well, what you got to keep in mind is we don't live at the end of history, but the middle of history. And so there's so much more time that we have to look for things. But fossilization is a really rare and difficult process. So the idea that, and because of plate tectonics, things get moved and buried and destroyed. For crying out loud, do you live in the United States?
Yes, sir.
Have you ever been to like Utah or the Grand Canyon?
I haven't had the opportunity yet, no.
Okay, so like, you know, the Grand Canyon, the walls of the Grand Canyon are like close to a mile tall in some places. In Utah, there are these really beautiful like Zion Canyon that's these sedimentary layers and they're half a mile tall. But like just think of a rock formation and you have thousands of feet of sediment, but the vast majority of it, you can only see what's on the surface. So just like imagine what kinds of fossils might be thousands of feet under solid ground that we just have no hope of ever seeing. And that's an additional problem with this. So, I mean, really, this almost sounds like a cop-out answer, but I don't really think it is. But with the transitional fossils, I wish we had more, but it really only takes one. At least it only takes one to say we have supporting evidence of it. You can't say that we're lacking in evidence. And yeah, I wish we had more, but that talking point is really just kind of shifting the goalpost a little bit. And every single time, this is a meme at this point, and it was best articulated in an episode of Futurama, but every time you find a missing link, that means that there are two new missing links, the one between it and the most recent, and the one that comes before it.
Right, so it's kind of like contradictory, really.
Well, not contradictory, but it's sort of, it's kind of like the idea of the more we learn about in science, the more we figure out, the more we learn what we don't know. Because when you're ignorant, everything seems so simple and there are very few questions. But the more you learn, the more you realize how much more complicated things are. And paradoxically, it's almost as if your ignorance grows the more you learn.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. Another question, because you did answer that one pretty professionally. All right, but put the fire down, caveman.
Oh, man.
All right.
Booga, 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 booga.
Yeah. So the second law of thermodynamics states that systems tend to move towards disorder. Right? Can we agree
that's
on that?
That's one way you can put it. Yeah, closed systems do.
Right, okay. So evolution, which involves increasing complexity, definitely contradicts this principle, right or wrong?
No.
Wrong? Okay.
Yeah, because life is powered by energy from the sun. So there's a constant input of energy, which means that the system can change over time and even grow more complex.
Yeah, damn. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you got me, buddy.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got him.
So I don't believe the Big Bang was the creation of the universe. I probably subscribe to more of a big bounce theory on that. But I don't believe in infinite regression. I don't believe in any infinity. That kind of comes off of Carlo Rovelli's work.
So can I ask you maybe one or two clarifying questions?
Yes, sir.
If the universe is the only thing that materially exists, you don't count that as an actual infinity?
No, I think that I don't think it has to be. No. Okay.
Then my other question would be, do you reject that the universe goes on forever?
Probably, yeah. Yeah, I can reject that. Yeah.
Okay, so would that be because of like the infinity paradoxes, like Grim Reaper paradox and stuff like that? Or is it based on something else?
I don't recognize those arguments off the names, but I just don't, like, I can see it. So a big bounce, yeah, it's a big, you know, ripple effect, but I do believe it at some point it's got to come to a conclusion, some sort of conclusion. Either a big rip or I don't know, but I don't think that it necessarily has to go on forever.
Okay. I was just wondering what exactly the reason would be. It may be the case that some sort of weird, there's a really cool book about seven different ways the universe could end called The End of Everything, astrophysically speaking.
Mm-hmm.
The author's name is Katie Mack. You'd probably really like it, actually. But
it sounds interesting as hell.
Yeah, but I mean, the universe could be infinite and it could end at some point. So I don't really, I don't see necessarily a problem with that. But you can go ahead and give whatever. This is somehow going to lead to the case that God exists.
Yeah, because since I don't believe in infinities, and of course I'm not as physically or, you know, my arguments aren't as sound as yours, so they're going to have holes, but I just simply don't believe that if there are no infinities, right, then I don't believe in infinite regression. I believe it started at a point, I believe it'll end at a point. So I believe something had to start that, and so it's tough not to believe that some outside creator started that, especially when I look into certain things like Stephen Hawking's and Tim's book that came out on the origin of whatever that book was, that there's a lot of evidence for a 3D reality that's juxtaposed on a 2D plane or something like that, basically like an ice globe or ice globe type things, right?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Timothy Hegzoff's new book, recent, it's not new at this point, that was basically Stephen Hawking's last theory. You know about that? Are you familiar with that?
I think somebody brought this up once. I just don't know anything about it, so I'm not.
Okay, well,
I would be useless to provide any kind of feedback on it.
It's a well thought out theory that started from Stephen Hawking's kind of evolution of his thought. That started with his book on time, and really the thing that convinced me the most that God's real was the theory of everything by Stephen Hawking.
Why's that?
Because at the end of the book, he got to the conclusion, and basically the conclusion of that, that basically got me from the Christian view of, oh, the Big Bang is nothing, to, oh, we don't know what happened. Science doesn't claim to know what happened before the Big Bang. And that really anything could have started that, but it comes from the Big Bang. I'm not really articulating anything I'm saying very well at all, so I do apologize to you and your audience for that.
I mean, I don't know what happened before the Big Bang, or even if before the Big Bang is a valid thing to wonder. Like, maybe there's mm-hmm. no such thing as before the Big Bang. But to just say that, well, something had to have done it, and I'm going to believe that God did it. I mean, you can believe that, but I wouldn't call this... Like, I wouldn't call that evidence or anything like that.
Okay. Yeah, I hear that. See, and it's even the singularity of it all that makes me think, I don't know. I don't have a great argument, so I'm going to stop wasting your time.
Okay.
All right. I love your content, by the way. Hey, I'm pretty much atheist. I just want to see what I can do. Love you, buddy. Love you, buddy. I love your content.
All right. Well, thank you. So what that more specifically means is young earth creationism. I think young earth creationism is on par with thinking the earth is flat. We just know that the Flintstones wasn't a documentary and that the universe is only 6,000 years old.
Okay. I mean, I agree with that. I agree that the earth is not flat and it's backed up by science. Mm-hmm. The earth is definitely... I mean, it's much more older than 6,000 years old. Exactly right, how right. old? I know that through carbon dating, we have estimated that the Earth is 4 billion years old, but carbon dating has been, I mean...
4.5, but yeah, time, so. Who's counting? Carbon dating, you know, we don't tell how old planets are by carbon dating. Carbon dating is, that'd be like trying to measure the width of the United States with a ruler. You know, you'd conclude, wow, it's only a foot long. You know, but that's just obviously not how it works.
Or radiometric dating, but I mean...
Yes. Yeah, radiometric
dating. They could still be inaccurate, so we truly don't know.
No, we are extremely confident because we know how to test radiocarbon dating to other... So, like, this concept should make perfect sense to you. If you try to compare... two different data sets and they correlate, then that's an indication that they have, that they are related in some way, right? There's a causal connection between them.
Right.
Now, correlation doesn't always equal causation. That is true. But if you can demonstrate that, then you have positive evidence of it. What we do with radiometric dating is, for example, for carbon dating, we can use that one first. What they do is they take a sample and they carbon date it. Then they compare that to tree ring data that they have for the area. They compare that to sedimentation layers that have accumulated, like annual sedimentation layers that have accumulated in an area. and a few other techniques, and or what they'll do is they'll combine all of those things, plus they're dating it from a site where they just know how old it is, right? Because it's a temple from a particular era in history, so we just know how old it is. And they find that, yep, all of the techniques here, the tree rings are telling us it's about that old, the carbon dating is telling us the same kind of number, the sedimentation layers are telling us the same number, and they all correlate to the age of the site archaeologically. And then there are other radiometric dating techniques that they do that for, like Pompeii. They've dated the ash there, or volcanic material. I don't know if they do it with ash specifically, but they get it right to 79 when Vesuvius erupted. 79, right? Yeah, 79. Yeah. That's, without rambling too much, there's an example.
I appreciate the example. And you say, I think you have up there too that says that there is no God. What would be your evidence of a God if there was one? Because we truly don't know. I mean, yes, there's no evidence of God, but at the end of the day, we don't know what happened before the Big Bang and what happened before that, how the whole entire universe came to be. So we just have, maybe it's much more complex than what we, you know, than what we would like. Because that's like saying an animal. I'm sure when animals look at buildings, they don't say, well, that probably, you know, was created by a human. No, they just think probably it's always been there, you know, just because they don't have the intellect.
Possibly, but God is a positive claim. And when somebody else doesn't have the explanation for something, that's not positive evidence for you. You need to come up with something new or that precludes other things. And existence doesn't preclude a non-supernatural explanation. A Big Bang doesn't invoke or preclude a non-supernatural explanation or anything like that. I have different, kind of two different answers for evidence of God. One kind of seems like a cop-out, but it really isn't. So what would the evidence for God look like? I'm not sure, but I know that God knows what that evidence would be, and this God hasn't told me or shown me any of that evidence. And if you want to invoke, no, the evidence is there, you just reject it. It's like, well, okay, I'm not lying. And the whole point was God would make it so that I know it to be true, which would mean God is engaging in divine hiddenness. And if the penalty for that is eternal suffering, then God, I'll see God next Tuesday if that's the case. But the other thing is, I can imagine lots of things that would convince me, but that's not the same thing as what is certainly, how do I want to say this? That's not the same thing as proving it sort of in general, I guess, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I appreciate the input. I kind of have to agree, and I understand that people say, well, you know, we shouldn't go to God whenever we don't understand how the universe came to be, but I just can't wrap my head around thinking that the universe just one day, boop, popped up. You know, I'm sure that it's more deeper than that, and there's a more better explanation for how everything came to be. But, you know, the Big Bang wasn't the initial part of how the universe came to be. There was something before that, and
maybe not.
We don't have an answer, but you know, if you look at everything in the universe had a creator, which was the Big Bang. You know, even on Earth, you know, for there to be a tree, there needs to be seed. So, you know, everything comes back down to having a creator. Everything on this Earth has been here because it was placed by something else. So I just can't see there being just randomness and then all of a sudden the universe coming to be. I just can't wrap my head around that.
Well, I mean, I don't agree with the way you're putting it there. I don't know what to say exactly. I do agree that the idea of like where the hell the universe came from or whatever doesn't really make any sense, but I think we can kind of realize, if we just think about it, that however it happened, it would be causally very different from the way things ordinarily happen today, right? So like, for example, if it was 300 years ago and we imagined how we would get to the moon, nobody would be able to describe to you a rocket ship, probably, because they just, all they had access to was whatever their ideas and thoughts about how the world works. And so when they tried to imagine it, that's all they could come up with. There are really hilarious drawings from the turn of the 20th century where people were asked, what will the world look like 100 years from now? And instead of people driving cars, they imagined everybody would float around in their own personal hot air balloon or blimp. Because to them, they were like, yeah, that's technologically the new thing and the coolest way to travel around. They just, the idea that everybody would have their own car never came to them, right? So I give these examples going back. Whatever is the explanation for how the universe got to, like, began existing in the state we see it today, it's going to be radically different than anything else we understand. And there are some scientific ideas about it, like quantum fluctuations and virtual particles. Don't ask me anymore, because I'm not that guy. But that doesn't, it's not, even if we didn't have that, again, that doesn't lead us to, therefore, something magical.
No, happened. Yeah, I understand that. And I'm not trying to put it that way. I just, you know, at the
end, I know.
I'm an agnostic just because, I mean, I just don't know. I mean, I don't know, and I don't think we're going to know in this lifetime. I think it's just way too complex. Maybe like a few hundred or...
No, what? That's not true. You're an agnostic because you love to sin and you reject the truth in your own unrighteousness, so...
Oh, yeah, that's why?
Yeah.
Oh, man. No, I just, I don't, you know, I've read the Bible multiple times, and it just, you know, when it says certain things I don't agree with. I'm not going to go into the Bible, but,
right.
You know, saying, you know, the earth was created in 6,000 years, and just a lot of negative things in there. I just don't agree with that particular God, but you know, there's hundreds of other gods and a lot of other beliefs that people all around the world believe, but at the end of the day, we just don't know. So,
yep.
It's definitely complex, and hopefully, I mean, I would love to know how, you know, what happened before the Big Bang. Hopefully we get to know in this lifetime.
That'd be pretty dope. It doesn't sound like something we ever could know, though, because I don't see how, just from the standpoint of information, if everything gets unified, then how could you ever understand how that information was arranged previously? I feel like that might fundamentally just not be knowable, but I don't know. Ask a physicist, I guess. Do I think you can make a philosophical argument for God and that could be evidence? I don't really think so. I don't think an argument proves anything really other than the argument itself, unless you have empirics that you can correlate what you're talking, like unless the terms correlate to something empirically or or like you could, in a weird kind of sense, analytically prove that God exists. So, like, by definition, if, I don't know, how would this even work?
like you could say that, well, if what God is all perfect, then that means that God can't do anything immoral, because that's what being omnibenevolent or perfect would mean. Then by definition, God is that. And I was like, okay, by definition, all ding dongs are zip zops. So therefore they exist. No. So that's how I feel about it anyways.
Right. So like, and I forget the doctor's name on this. I think he's pretty revered. Like I think he argues what Aristotle used to argue. He had the five ways of proofs, and it was the unmovable mover, I think, right? And I think it follows just the contingency argument. How do you?
I think
this God is not. This God is not prescribed to any religion. By the way, I'm not saying he's all loving. I'm just saying there's a God, and I guess with a mind that created all of us. So how do you feel about that contingency argument? I think Professor Edwards is his name. I don't know if you know him.
I don't know who you're talking about. I mean, the prime mover argument was pushed into modern theology most by Aquinas, I believe.
Right. Yes.
But and did Aristotle? I think Aristotle believed in gods. Socrates doesn't, and he drank hemlock because of it. But anyways. Aristotle believed in gods because he thought man had a rational soul and that was imbued in us by gods. But what do I think of the prime mover argument? Yeah. It may be logically consistent, but
right.
Another thought I have about this kind of stuff is if we had somehow invented empirical science before we invented philosophy, Or before we, like, if we started, some people say science just is philosophy, and then other people say, well, if you're using your brain, you're doing philosophy. So it's like, okay, well, then it has to start with philosophy first. So if we started doing the scientific method before we started coming up with deep philosophical arguments for things, we'll just say it that way, then I don't think anybody would have thought of something like a prime mover, because I was just talking to the guy before this, and you probably, okay, good. I think you heard that. Our concept of cause and effect in the beginning of the universe is almost certainly nothing like what we understand it now. And for people that lived thousands of years ago, or even hundreds of years ago, there's nothing you can fault them for coming up with an argument like that. But I just don't think somebody would have come up with that argument if they knew what we knew scientifically now, but were kind of sat around and never considered, from whence cometh universe, methinks perchance. You know, I don't think it would have gone that way.
Yeah.
Or I don't think people would have come up with that.
Do you think it's analogous to comparing... it's sort of God in the gaps in a way. It is logically consistent, like how you said, if you use a contingency argument. But like back then, people used to say, you know, if it's lightning, it's Zeus, because that was their only explanation. They didn't know, so they would ascribe those phenomena to a God. Do you think that's analogous to sort of this situation with contingency?
Yeah, kind of. Contingency and prime mover, they're not the same thing. A contingent thing is just something that could be some other way. A non-contingent thing is something that could not be in any other way. So there's this really good YouTube channel called Unsolicited Advice. And the guy actually, I watched it and I don't remember anything from it, but he has a video that came out not that long ago where he says that Aquinas's prime mover argument is actually one of the most misunderstood arguments, because it doesn't literally mean the first, it's the argument from motion or whatever. And again, I don't remember, so I should just, I'm going to stop giving a summary, but he says everybody kind of misunderstands the point of it. So instead of listening to an idiot like me, maybe go listen to an idiot like him on this thing. Because I don't really remember what the general point of it was. But I do stand by what I said earlier about
okay.
Nobody, I don't think people would have come up with that if they knew scientifically what we know now.
Okay, I got you. Like, so, and this is a final point. You don't think just because something is logically consistent, like, it doesn't have to be real, right?
Yeah, that doesn't make it true, because I could create, like, for logical statements, we have valid and then we have sound. If it's valid, it just means the conclusion follows. Ooh, yeah. So if I said all ding-dongs are zip-zops and all zip-zops are, then that means that all ding-dongs are, that logically right, follows. Yeah. But there's no soundness in this. And yeah, when it comes to people talking about an eternal mind and things like that, I have some thoughts about that, where it becomes completely...
You think soundness needs empiricism to it?
I don't see any other way. I'm open to it being demonstrated in some other way. I mean, like, mathematically, but we don't form mathematical logical deductions, you know, not exactly. I mean, a proof in a way kind of is, in a sense. Yeah. So, like, analytically, you can demonstrate that something is true, not necessarily with analytics, but if we're talking about something other than just definitions of words, which don't mean all that much to me, I'm a nominalist, but something else, I guess, like, mathematically, that's the closest you get. But yeah, I don't understand how you can demonstrate soundness without empirics. So somebody who's who are the people A's that were the B. Go ahead.
You're saying, like, if A is greater than B, and then the B, how does it go? A is greater than B, and B is greater than C. That would mean A is greater than C. Like, that math, you're saying? Logically consistent like that?
I don't know what I said that you're using that as a reference to. But...
Because you were saying, because I asked you, do you think for something... Even if it's logically consistent, you said it has to have empiricism. There's no other way besides, like, math. And, like, math would be like A bigger than B and B is bigger than C, so A is bigger than C as well. Is that, like, what you're meaning by math or no?
Yeah, something like that. Like a mathematical proof or whatever. I don't think okay. Integers really exist or anything like that. So what does that mean? But yeah. Yeah, like, you can demonstrate something true, I guess, by definition, but I'm talking about proving that something exists or that something is real, you know, as part of the universe, whereas definitions aren't that kind of thing, and I don't think numbers are that kind of thing.
Yeah,
so
definitions, that's different. Numbers, why don't you think numbers are?
Why, like, don't you think apple, numbers are real?
Yeah, like if you have one apple, I mean, that's different from two. So, like, what's mm-hmm. the difference here?
Well, the difference is that for me, there are some people that are Platonists with regard to this, that numbers exist in some sort of abstract realm or whatever.
Yeah.
And people think that about logic too. And I find that to be very bizarre. I don't pluck from some other realm the concept of logic or a number when I describe something that is in front of me. That's the order of events is backwards there. Instead, those things are just reference to something that is really in front of you. So I essentially think that math is basically a language. And actually, okay. with regard to things, certain things in math, like Boolean algebra, it's actually described, the rules for the way the mathematics works is actually described as a kind of grammar, funny enough. So,
okay. Hey, that was a good talk. Thank you for letting me up, man. And I'll see you, man.
You're welcome. The Big Bang is just what the universe does, is currently doing. Could a universe have existed before space-time began expanding? Sure. I don't see any problem with that. It would be
a theory about how this began, though.
And no, I mean,
saying it's... there's something that happened before then isn't really a theory of how it began.
I don't know what you mean. So the Big Bang Theory is not a theory about how the universe began. You could say, because you can say that, but the implication for that is before the Big Bang, the universe didn't exist. And we don't know that. There's no reason for that to necessarily be the case. It, you can say that it, the Big Bang caused the universe as we see it to begin, right? Like volcanic eruptions are what created the islands of Hawaii. But before that, the Earth existed and other volcanoes existed and whatever, you know? So that's where there's kind of a misunderstanding in the way it's communicated and understood.
So it's not a theory of how everything began.
Not really began. Again, you could say it's how the universe with the current laws that we observe and explain and the motion of everything in the universe, you can say it's the beginning of that, but it doesn't, I'll just repeat this, it doesn't mean that before the Big Bang there wasn't a universe.
Yeah, okay. So to get that bit, is there any theory of how that began?
There are several ideas, hypotheses, not like not scientific theories. We could have cyclical Big Bang models. One of Penrose's idea, I can't remember what it's called, but it's a cyclical universe model, I believe. I always forget what he calls it. There's that. Or there are what are called past eternal models that say the universe just existed as a timeless singularity because time is a dimension of space. And when you collapse everything and unify all the forces and space-time as we see it today, then you don't have space-time, so you don't have time as we understand it. So the universe just exists, and a quantum fluctuation event was the initial spark that began the inflation that caused the Big Bang. Those are the only two that I'm really aware of that can describe how we get to what we see today.
Okay. I'm not sure, but is there anyone that believes that God created the components to make the Big Bang possible?
I mean, some Christians just reject that the Big Bang happened. Other Christians say the Big Bang is just a description of God's creation. So they do think that. I don't have an idea as to what the percentages are, though.